I would, in terms of just couching this discussion, moving it along, and I would like us to get, at least for some of us who are younger, a real handle on this matter of walking with God. I like the thought about it's not a list of rules, because, you know, it's frustrating. You get frustrated with rules, right? Mm. Rules, oh man, I broke that one. You know, rules just don't get it. It becomes dread. I'd like to also posit that, yes, in Noah's day, there was none. But isn't it more complicated, or how more complicated is it in a day where everything's right? In a day where the contrast isn't as distinct in the day in which we live. There are complexities connected with that, because now it's not clear black and white. It's not clear very often, you know, in Noah's day it was pretty straightforward. That's corrupt. This is not. Well, now we live in a pluralistic society in which the influences of righteousness is sort of pervaded, and it's sort of in there somewhere. And now you have, well, if it's okay with you, it's okay, you know. And we have this whole relativism that exists. To me, that raises complications with regard to the Christian in our day. And so my question is, in terms of just to put a practical handle on it for our younger audience, as well as for my own self, is what does this mean, really, to walk with God in order that we might have His character being displayed in us? How does that really happen? One of the things that I find, you know, in my own thinking about this, is that we need to not abstract God so far to forget that He is real and He's a person. I think sometimes we abstract God into a theoretical concept, and so you read the scriptures in order to gain more about the concept. The reality is that God is a person. God is spirit. God is living. God is animated. God is doing things. He is not, he is. Hebrews says, he that comes to God must believe that he is, that he's a person. And very often growing up, you know, in a Christian home, very often, and it took some while for me to get to this point, is that God is rules in the Bible. And so we say we want to walk with God, well, read your Bible. And it's not that that's wrong. What is important about that is there is a living God behind the authorship of this Bible. And it's like receiving a letter from a living person, not simply theoretical, abstract concepts and ideas. And in a pluralistic society in which we live, that's what is happening, is God is being reduced to a collection of ideas that this group holds. Reality is God is, and He has spoken. And if I get a hold of that, then it's going to help me shape my understanding of what this matter is to walk with God. That as I wake up, this is the day the Lord has made. God has done something. He has allowed the sun to rise again. God has done that. That whole thing's hold together by the word of His power. God is at work. Do I see it every day? No, I get too familiar with the sun rising and setting. But it says, from the rising of the sun to the setting of the sun, what? Jehovah is to be praised. It's to bring before us consciously that there is a living God behind everything that's going on. I think that's a start in order to help us understand this matter of walking with God. He that comes to God must believe that He is. God is a person. God is living. God is not simply a collection of ideas and concepts. Once I get past that and I see Him as a person and I realize that He has chosen and elected to communicate through the scriptures, then the scriptures take on a whole different viewpoint. It takes on a whole different perspective. It's not drudgery. It's not, oh man, I gotta read my Bible again. No, it's the idea that the living God has chosen to communicate to me through this living word. And so I struggle with this passage, but I can talk to him now and say, well, you wrote this. Help me to understand. Because now I'm interacting with a living person as opposed to struggling with just trying to collect and understand the concept. I think that's such an important part of this matter of walking with God. He that comes to God must believe that he is, mm-hmm. and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him.
We know that the book that we hold in our hands, the scriptures, the Bible, is very clearly identified with the Lord Jesus. If we look at the first chapter of John's Gospel, in those early verses, in particular verse 14, the Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us, full of grace and truth. This can only refer to the Lord Jesus. And in Revelation, God not communicating. Here in the days of Noah, he spoke directly to man.
The title that the Lord always had.
So it is not a matter of
way
God
to us,
not communicating.
Except through his
here
word.
In the days of Noah,
the Lord Jesus
spoke directly to man. There's no question about that. But God is not speaking that way to us.
Except we don't think of a book as being
the Lord. Lord Jesus is this word. Now that's a concept that's impossible to understand.
If I don't know this word, then I don't know what to do.
Because we don't think of a book.
I just don't know where to turn.
But it is. It is. It is his word.
If I don't know something from the Lord.
If I don't know this word,
when you're very young, it's sometimes difficult to grasp some of these things.
Where to turn? What should I do? How do I please God?
They can learn
if I don't
present it to them in words that they can certainly understand.
Sometimes difficult.
But I still say
some of these things. But children do learn.
The responsibility is in the lives that we live,
in words
because children will follow what they
are. But I still say, as fathers and mothers, and there are many of us here,
now that I don't want to put the blame on any of us if our children drift away
we live
and are not following the Lord.
Children will follow
what
they observe much more than what they hear.
Say, look,
now that's your fault. I don't want to put the blame on any of us if our children
the Lord allow
away
it,
and are
but
not
when we
Lord.
Have children.
All my children are not following the Lord. So, I don't
living
say,
with us,
look,
we have
fault.
That responsibility
you know,
by our example.
But when we have children under our control, so
it's
to
our
speak,
failure.
Still living
you know,
with
sometimes
us.
Sometimes we appear before our children as if there's nothing wrong with me.
Example to point them to the Lord Jesus. And we should confess
no,
our
that
failure.
Isn't so, and we know,
you know sometimes we
it's good to
appear
confess
before our children
we
as
we
if
should
there's
first
nothing wrong with me. If you only did it the way I do it, it's perfect.
That. No, children do want to plead.
We know it. It's
not
good
all
to
of
confess
them,
failure. We,
most
we should first confess it, of course, to the Lord, but even to others around us.
We should
be a help
build on that.
Children do want to plead.
The desire to please the Lord
not
which is
them,
so much more important.
Most of them, I think they do want to please their parents.
But
and
we should not
we should
become discouraged
on that
if we
and
see them perhaps drift away.
The Lord, which
because
is so
the
Lord, I believe the Lord will open the way for us to do that.
If we have been faithful,
but we should
to him,
not become
and
discouraged.
If we have preached the gospel
if we
faithfully,
see them perhaps
and
drift away, because the Lord allows that too. But
in
it's not
our
fault.
Anyone
we have been
who does not have faith,
and if we have
it's more
the
important
faithfully,
our walk than our
and
hope.
In our lives displayed something of Christ. And that's true in our testimony to anyone who does not have faith. It's more important our walk than our talk, as I said earlier.